Mitch McAllister of Notes from the Underground, May 11th, 2005. Lorenzo Getz. That was a track I picked up from one of our listeners out in Illinois in the Champaign area, and apparently Lorenzo is a local singer songwriter. I don't know much about him, but thank you, Chris Johnson, for sending us those tracks. And as always, anybody can send anything in, and you know, of course, I'm gonna going to listen to it first, but happened to really dig this stuff. So I'll play it on the show and go ahead and, you know, give me your comments. Tell me what you're listening to, any other podcasts, any bands. Love to hear it. This week we have a special guest, good old friend of mine. Say hello.
My name is Bobby Bell. I go way back with Mitch, way back to college. He's one of the best people I know, obviously, because of what he's doing with the podcast, and he's bringing awareness of music out there. I love him for that. It's one of the places in which we connect as human beings, and it really inspires me. And so I came out tonight, and we literally are in the underground. For all of you who don't know what the underground is, there are a lot of spiders around me right now. And I'm very tripped out.
They're not going to bite, Bob.
I'm an arachnophobe, and if any of you are wondering and thinking that this is some sort of like a plush studio somewhere, this is as real as it gets. Mitch is making all of this happen because he's passionate about music, and he wants all of you to succeed, and he wants everybody to hear what's going on out there. And that really has always been what we've done together. We may not know every detail about every bit of music, but he is a performer himself. And that's what I love about him. So let's do this.
That's nice. All right. We got some more music coming for you right now. This next band is another pick from Chris Johnson, a band called Beauty Shop. And the track is called Monster.
I've said before you sleep, look beneath the bed, only these how they hang, and you're as good as dead, but you won't find him, cause the monster's in your head.
That was quite a track.
My nipples are hard. You know, Lorenzo, you've got talent. Let's go.
No, that was Beauty Shop.
Oh, Beauty Shop. That, there's an edit right there. You remember I was talking to you about editing. Well, there you go.
This is a live recording. So.
Hey, for all you out there listening, I'm not familiar with the editing process that Mitch has got going here. He's going to fix all this in post.
Yeah, I'm the best there was in terms of sound editing, you know.
No, but what's important about what just happened is that you've been hiding these gems from me. I have no idea who these artists are, and that is firing me up because your library of stuff, I know I can come over to your place and I will always hear something that I don't know about.
That's how our relationship started. I mean, we went to Tower Records, I think, probably day one.
And mind you, this is so pre-iTunes, so pre-cell phone. I mean, literally, we can look back in our lives and say, pre-cell phone. No one had cell phones in college. You know what we did? We went and we got a pizza, a
beer.
Back
in my day.
We got a pizza and a beer, and we went to the Tower listening station and geeked out with headphones on and walked out with whatever we could afford in tunes. We would then go back to our apartment, and we would listen to what we got.
I know. Now, how cool is it that – I mean, actually, this came from this guy, Chris Johnson. And so I'm getting emails now from people that – I'm getting emails now. Instead of having to go to Tower Records, people can just email me, you know, these cool tracks. I mean,
that's... Benefits to technology for sure. And I would be the first supporter of that. I mean, it's a little wicked sometimes because you don't know exactly what's going on. Technology is huge. However, I love that people have so many different tastes. And there was a point that I wanted to tell you tonight. When I was driving over here, I was thinking about it. One of the things that I always experience with music is – I listen to something, and if it appeals to me, I have to have it, right? And that's not very unique. I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I encounter people a lot of the time that if they don't know what the song is,
then they won't listen to it.
Yeah. And I'm notorious for bringing CDs to parties, and people can't stand it. They have to have what they want.
Bob, why can't you just play something we all know?
Or he always has to bring a CD or whatever. And it's mostly about just turning people on to something that fires me up. And I always want to say to people, like, you know, if you don't have a memory – I think music is memory associated. If you don't have a memory that's associated with a song, it's really hard for you to accept it, like, on the playlist for an evening. But I'm always like, just make a new
memory.
I'm
the opposite. I'm the opposite now. Yeah, at this point in my life, I'm sort of like – I've heard Whole Lotta Love enough times. I still love Led Zeppelin, but I don't really – listen to that around other people. Like, I'll listen to that when I'm washing my car or something, but I'm not like, you know, at a party, like, listen to this Led Zeppelin tune.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with being so jazzed up about something that someone's created that you are running around promoting it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like over the course of my life, people have always like kind of looked down on that, you know, let's go with what we know. And the second that someone comes in, that's kind of on the outside of that, that wants to play something for people, that people you don't get let in on that. They don't
let
you.
I think that's the coolest thing about this whole podcasting phenomenon is that now you have people promoting music through word of mouth and with the same power and strength that the mainstream record labels have been, you know, cuz it used to cost so much money to get anything on the radio that it had to be liked by, you know, thousands of people already in order to just to get on the radio. And now, you know, some guy playing great tunes at a Champaign, Illinois can get played on a podcast that gets broadcast worldwide, you know.
But pre-podcast, because I got to be honest with you, I don't even really understand the technical aspects of what podcast is. Now, I'm willing to bet you it's almost like the internet. People didn't know what the internet was for a long time.
It's the verbal version.
Yeah.
It's the audio version of the internet.
But people will, like, over time, I mean, I mentioned this to a couple people this week, like, I'm going to go hang out with my friend Mitch and we're going to do this thing. No one knows really yet unless they're on the cutting edge. But before I even make that point, I want to tell you about, I think that bands like, this almost feels like the bootleg bands. The bands that allowed you to come and tape.
Right.
That was the back then version of what this shit is. you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Grateful Dead. I mean, I met people when I was 10 years old.
But now it's not restricted to that jam
exactly.
genre.
No, and then there's computers. And can you imagine what the Dead would have done with this right, kind of technology?
Right.
And, I mean, that's what it feels like. Pearl Jam, totally bucking the system. And yeah. doing what they want to do, selling live albums
to people.
They still
don't do – they won't do Ticketmaster shows, right?
Like, no. I mean, that was what started it. There was this big brouhaha. And that was kind of like what felt like to me the beginning of the decline of the stranglehold that labels had, you know?
Yeah.
And we know that in the last year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, music has changed so much. When Napster came out, you know, people were freaking out. Well, what does this do to the landscape of music?
Yeah. And the record labels are still freaking
they
out.
They're still – well, because the revenue
– now they're driving ringtones because that's the only thing that they can lock in. Nobody can put – you know,
about sucking Benjamin Franklin's gag. That's what it is. They all want the – it's all always will be about the money.
Yeah. Yeah, but this isn't – I'm not making a dime. You know?
The music, no. But the structure was money.
Right. Right.
Now, wait a second. Wait.
It would be cool to make money.
All right.
What?
Blap. Okay, so, you know. Yeah, but we had something going there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, you know, why don't we stop talking? Why don't we let, you know, the people that we like.
Yeah, does anybody want to phone in?
Can you do that?
Nothing.
Does podcast have?
Well, I mean, I could open up a line. Like, I could probably get some sort of a line on my, you know, like somebody. I don't know. Would you guys call in if I put, you know, some sort of a voicemail feedback line? Like, if I could do that,
Mitch,
I would play that.
I have to ask you a question.
What's that?
My ass has been itching this week. I haven't noticed anything prior to this week. And I definitely don't know about what next week's going to look like.
Cream.
But this
week, it's all about itchy. Cream.
Cream?
Yeah.
Oh, let's play Badge.
No, I you know, they're actually, they're out.
Cream, let's go.
Cream is actually out performing again.
I'd like to encourage everybody that might hit this link later in their week or if you get it tonight and you're a dedicated listener, you know I love Mitch and Mitch is the greatest, but you know you have friends where you come and you sit down with them and time is at a standstill. It doesn't matter how long you haven't seen them. I'm having that feeling right now. I just like when Mitch and I are together,
yeah,
there will be problems.
It's good times.
All right, great.
We live on opposite sides of this big, beautiful place we call L.A. And
let me tell you why I suck as a salesman.
We got some more music.
Yeah.
Bobby picked out some tunes that he really digs.
What are we coming up on here? What are we rushing up on?
Well, you tell me. We had...
No. We played Lorenzo. We played Beauty Shop. I think that we're either coming up on Amos Lee.
Yeah, let's play that.
Let's play Amos.
All right.
No, wait. I mean...
So what should we give... You want to do a pro quo?
Little story about Amos. Because, hey, by the way, here at Podcast Underground, Barky Bark, Black, 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 we're all about, like, you know... Shit.
It's okay. You're screaming. I don't want. I mean, you're like right up in the.
Hey, people! I was redlining on his little equalizer. All right, I'll pull it back, War Child. All right, listen. The Amos Lee is a guy that I heard through word of mouth, and I got a chance to listen to a song. You always think about what he reminds you of, or what someone reminds you of. He reminded me a little bit of Ben Harper, but he's very different. And I didn't do a ton of research about the guy, but I told Mitch. Mitch hasn't heard him. And I think all of you are going to dig it, and we should just hit that shit now-ish.
All right. Here we go with some Amos Lee. Yo. What's it called?
Are you going to do your Mr. Furley impression at all tonight?
I'm gonna make my way down to Regal Beagle and check out Amos Lee. Yeah. I am at ease in the arms of a woman.
Although now most of my days I spend alone, a thousand miles from the place I was born. But when she wakes me, she takes me back home. Now most days I spend like a child who's afraid of ghosts in the night. I know there ain't nothing out there. I'm still afraid to turn on the light. I am at ease in the arms of a woman. Although now most of my days are spent alone, thousand miles, the place I was born. When she wakes me, she takes me back home. Thousand miles, the place I was born. When she wakes me, she takes me back home. I am at ease in the arms of a woman. Although days I spent alone, a thousand miles from the place I was born. But when she wakes me, she takes me. Yeah, when she wakes me, she takes me. Yeah, when she wakes me, she takes me back home. When she wakes me, she takes me back home.
Mitch, do you have some tissue?
It's just so sad.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make this some sort of manly thing. That song recently I heard, and it music seems to me to always come at the right time.
Did you kiss whoever you're with?
It wasn't about that. It wasn't even about being with the person. It was about thinking about the person. And that song, In the Arms of a Woman, really, really hits me hard. And every time I feel that way with music, I always want to like talk to somebody about it, and I want to say like my tendency is to not express my feelings. I don't want to tell someone how they've got me, how they've shook me. And there, I recently in my life met a girl, a beautiful girl who has a beautiful sister, and I'll probably see them later tonight. And you know, there's an aliveness going on in my life right now. And he says, you know, when she wakes me, she takes me back home. I experience that all the time with her, and it is really powerful.
And you haven't told her that?
She knows.
Yeah.
She knows. But, I mean, even as I'm doing this with you, and I know that we might listen to it later or somebody else might hear it, there's this tendency inside myself to, like, want to sound cool or not tell someone really what is going on. And I'm starting to get to the place in my life where I'm like, if you don't do that, if you don't always be doing that with people, then they never really get to know you and they never get to see your heart. And this is one of those songs. And I listened to it again tonight. I got more out of it, you know, got even more out of it. And I feel like sometimes I play really small. I'm enclosed and shielded and making sure I make the right decisions and never make mistakes. And I know she knows, and I know that it's all good. But, you know, yeah. That's what it hits me.
I mean, I think we all do that. I think we, you know, we cover ourselves with coolness and don't show our insides. And I don't know. I think, I mean, for me, I was doing that a lot on this podcast. I was like, I was doing Mitch McAllister, Notes from the Underground voice.
Which was very cool, by the way.
Well, you know, yeah, it was cool, but it wasn't me.
You know? I told you my nipples got hard. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm hearing stuff from my friend. My friends listen to the show, and they're like, I like the music, but who the hell is that guy? You know, like, they don't know who it is. They don't know who's talking. And I realized I was, like, really being really self-conscious about who was that I was, you know, performing, or that I was, you know, I got sort of in this zone where I was sort of, I was thinking about everybody that was out there listening, and I'm done with that. I'm not going to, you know, talk are my fake to you. Radio voice anymore. I'm just going to be me. And, like,
well, you have a great voice, first of all. So it's not just this, like, a radio voice. I think the more important factor that we're talking about really is,
whoa.
You're playing me off. Yeah. That's cool. All right. That's more important.
Technical problem there. Sorry.
We had an emergency broadcast system Amber Alert. A white Subaru has abducted Mitch from the underground. All right.
Underground?
The underground.
I want to go there for sure.
New line of panties. The underground. And yeah, I know panties is a weird word. Okay? Underpants. Underoos. Who gives a shit? All right. Listen. This is what I'm really trying to say. What Mitch, you know, Mitch and I are sitting here across from each other. There's no one else around. And what he's saying is that, you know, as we go and we do this thing that we know other people are listening to, you immediately have that, like, little machinery gets in effect and you're like, oh, I'm going to try and sound cool. And of course we want to entertain everybody, hopefully entertain everybody, but you can sense when there is a moment and it's either the music or it's being with a friend and you're being real. So I would encourage anybody out there that's listening, you know, if you know that you've been doing that, or if you feel like you have, start, just get real and have some fun with that.
Serious.
Real.
Get real.
Yeah.
Get real, dude.
If, like, drugs are not your thing, drink a lot. That helps.
We think we're deep, but really, we're shallow.
What the fuck is deep? What the hell is deep?
Deep is like...
Are we allowed to swear on this shit?
You can say fuck, shit, cock, all right, balls. Great.
That's really good. I don't have anything to say. You keep going.
Because my mom's not listening.
Your mom is not
listening.
She
can't figure it out.
If your mother's not listening to your podcast, whoa.
I know.
You suck.
I don't have a... she has a computer, but it's like 30 years old. It's like a, she has one of those little, it's not even a calculator, you know, it's like it has the beads on it, and you move the beads, abacus.
That's the jackrabbit?
She has an abacus.
Wait, your mother owns a vibrator?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
If anyone else, I don't know if you heard Mitch the way I heard him, but like six oscillations, rotating beads.
Don't talk about my mom, dude.
She's pretty religious, isn't she?
Look, anyways.
If God doesn't understand this.
Well, if you can't get in there with a vibrator, you're going to need a crooked finger.
Ah, what a segue.
You get it? You get it?
If you guys don't notice what Mitch has just done, he's set up the next band called Crooked Fingers. And this is – I am not positive, but I believe it might be their fourth album. And I've always – I've always gotten cut off throughout my whole life.
Come on, try it. One more time. One more time.
What are you doing, dude?
question what you take me for. I know for him your love's not true. So while you lay with that joker tonight, my friend and his love just ain't doing you right. Again, won't you hear my heart? I'm transmitting a call to love. It's true, I heard about you saying your name, but I'm a straight talk woman, got no time for games. Don't need my heart, get round the block no more. You may be smooth talking daddy, but I heard it all before. So I don't care if you're making that sound. No heart receives love when it's broken down. So how am I supposed to hear?
Crooked Fingers with Call to Love, and they've got a bunch of tracks on their site as well. I got this one off download.com, and you should check out their site because they got some really cool kind of mellow train hopping hobo tunes. Yes, which are cool. You know, I like hobo tunes.
The best part is that I hope that everybody out there, I'm sure that somebody is very familiar with Crooked Fingers, and I'm sure there are a ton of people that aren't. And if there was one point of what we're doing tonight, it's come away with a song you like that you haven't heard before.
That's the goal. You hear that? You heard it here. You will come away with something you hadn't heard before and that you like.
And I want you to visualize yourselves.
You can tell me what you don't like. I need more comments. I'm not getting enough comments from people. I want to hear what you like, what you don't like, what you're listening to other than my show so that I can find new avenues for finding music for you guys. You know, other podcasts, some of the podcasts that I'm listening to. Bobby, bear with me.
What is this? I don't know. This is like something like fucking, you know, the, what is that, buying channel. Buy my bracelet. $450. I want them to visualize themselves breaking the marathon tape like the rock stars that they are and be like, I found a new song. You know, like that. Slow motion, you breaking through the tape of the marathon finish line. That's this moment right now.
Yeah. An epiphany.
That is exactly the word in the dictionary that I would use for what I'm talking about. That or... crapper.
He wants you to take a crap after listening to this song.
I had a very spiritual moment today. I don't like taking craps in public, and I definitely don't like doing it in public.
What do you do at work?
I wait until I go home. I do. I'm not joking. I am not afraid to tell anybody that. I really am not.
I don't
like it. I am not part of the posse of people that grab the sports page in a five-person-long stall and make all your natural sounds with each other, and then that's great. Fuck that. And people do that. They do. Just no knowledge of what's going on around them. They're like, oh, you know, you see some guy with sweat running down his face, and I don't see
him. You're looking at people?
I kick the door down.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I sense them like dead people as I walk out of the bathroom. I see through the crack of the stall, and I know that there's someone in there sweating like they're in the sauna of a Burke Williams. Sorry. Maybe not Burke Williams, so people don't go to spas, but just sweating and grinding one out in there. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to shit at work or in public ever if I have a choice.
You know what I do when I'm at work?
You stop the music?
No, I actually kind of dig like that. That's like my time. And I go and I have this little game on my cell phone. It's a bowling game. And you have to time it. It's like got these three timers. One's for power, one's for aim, and the other is for some other stupid thing. And if you get all three of them right, then you knock them all down. I haven't been able to get above like a 250, but it gives me something to concentrate
this,
on.
This conversation has been brought to you by Sprint PCS.
Oh, you have that game?
No, I don't. I don't. All I know is that I feel equal parts upset that I can't shit in public because, like, look, dude, we've got soldiers over in Iraq right now shitting in worse situations than we could ever shit in. And here I have this ventilated, air-conditioned bathroom, and yet I can't deal with it. Shitting is a spiritual movement.
Well, we should just pull out of Iraq then so that our soldiers can shit at home.
I agree.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I poo.
For the sake of doo-doo, yes. Bring our troops home. Yeah.
No, I mean, this seems trivial, but it's a very, very serious issue for me. And I can say that with no problem.
Okay, so then I need to ease up because
this webcast is going to shit.
I'm making fun of your poop.
No, you're not making fun of my poop. You're making fun of the fact that I cannot poop in public.
So you wait till you go home.
Poop in public.
And then you just...
OPP.
And then you just... And then when you go home, you read a book.
A book?
A book.
A book.
A book.
I don't read. See, honestly, the best
I'm not
I can
that
do...
strong
the
a
best
reader.
I can do is like three sentences out of any magazine. It could even be a coupon for Vons.
What about a book?
Like no. Hey, if I can get three fucking things of Fantastic for $2.99... That gets a shit out.
What's
how much of this are you going to delete?
What, I don't even none of it. What's Fantastic?
It's an all-purpose cleaner.
and you sniff that to entice the poop?
No, I read the back of the bottle. Oh. I mean, in place of proper reading material, I don't have my Dewey Decimal System in place.
Hey Dewey,
hey Dewey, I don't have it.
Don't do it. My name is Dewey, and I'm just hoping that everybody out there can have a good poop.
If anyone's really been listening tonight, what we'd really ask for is that you would mail in comments or, you know, blog it or whatever they do these days and say, at what point did you notice the deterioration of two people talking? It could have happened 10 minutes ago, but Mitch and I will never know.
Yeah, we're creeping up here on minute 40.
All right, so http://, and come at us.
Yeah, www.sendusyourlove.com.
Hey, Mitch, I have a real honest question for you.
Tell me.
I hear it every day.
Love
and
me.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I want to know.
What does blog mean?
Blog. It means to blog. Blog.
From the Latin for.
It means.
E blogus unum.
It means be Latin or get out.
Well, I would agree. It's better to be Latin because they get all the chicks.
All of them. All Latins get all chicks.
With mole or without?
You heard it here first.
Do you know how much editing and post you're going to have to do?
I don't do that. That's not my thing. I did stop it a few times though. This particular section we started and stopped probably three times because for whatever reason it got weird after the Cricket Fingers.
I think the song generates a very weird spot for people, which is really cool because you know you come out of it, you don't know what to say.
It's like that deep.
Deep. Could any of this be alcohol related?
I'm drinking a scotch and Bobby's got some
water on the rocks.
Water on the rocks, which is awesome.
Russian water.
Sorry, you get it? Okay. No, let's talk about Mike Doughty for a minute because this really was sort of the quintessential. We're back to music, people. No more jibber jabber. We're back to music. So we're talking about Mike Doughty. I'm controlling the conversation, and we're talking about M. Doughty. M. Doughty. M. Doughty. We are talking about M. Doughty. Got weird again.
Hold on a second. What Mitch is trying to say is, and we referenced this in the beginning of the conversation, I believe, way back when I met Mitch, this was one of those albums that I don't care whether you had girl roommates, guy roommates, whatever the fuck you did in college.
Move
but
aside.
You had friends and you listened to music with them. And on a rainy day with Mitch, I discovered Soul Coughing.
When we were taking care of our cats.
Exactly.
We had
Mitch
two
cats. You know, it brings up a really important point.
Ferris and Cameron.
Your cat had issues.
Your cat.
My cat was a rock star.
That's why you let my cat run away.
Your cat ran away because your cat thought it was a dog.
Because you weren't feeding him, Bobby.
No, it had nothing to do with feed. Had nothing to do with feed.
He should have fed himself.
Had to do with
it wasn't my cat.
Schizophrenic
God damn it.
Cat. Anyways, bottom line is that.
Don't hold a grudge, Mitch.
M. Doughty is a guy who, every time I listen to his lyrics, there's something that matters to me, and there's something that he says, and I really believe that he's a poet, and M. Doughty will never hear this, and I will probably never meet the guy, even though I would like to.
He might listen
maybe,
to
it. Maybe not. But I listened to the first album that M. Doughty released, Soul Coughing. One of my favorite songs was True Dreams of Wichita, which won't hear tonight. But he used a lot of upright bass in his time with his band Soul Coughing, and he even has some upright bass on this album, Howdy Music, or is it Howdy Music? And I've been waiting for it for a long time. Unfortunately, because of the nature of Napster and all that stuff, I've actually heard kind of stripped down versions of some of this stuff. But he's back with a full band. He released.
Bobby's a downloader.
He released a EP called Rockety Roll, which is also fantastic, and he also has an album called Skittish. He is a poet, and if anybody stops to get beyond his very, you know, unique voice that sometimes sounds the same on certain songs, his lyrics blow me away. And I think we should hit White Lexus.
All right. Let's do it.
Please show me how to live. Please show me how to have a day. I don't want to wake up now. Why do I have to wake up anyway? Like a soap star in anguish, Wilbur Bland. When your white Lexus comes around the way, I lay in a long driveway, try to feel nothing on command. When your white Lexus comes, girl, be damned. I'll forgive the world right now. Still, I play the chump's role every time I'm. My world's the surface of the moon. My heart's down in a diamond mine. Like the black stars of Memphis moaning on. When your white Lexus comes to drive me out, drive me to the edge of town, try to feel nothing on command. When your white Lexus comes, be damned. Damn it to last down, man. When your white Lexus comes, when your white Lexus comes, when your white Lexus comes.
All right, cool. That was M. Dottie, Mike Dottie, that is, formerly of Soul Coughing, as Bobby just said earlier in our, you know, in the, on that, yeah.
I really never understood exactly why Soul Coughing broke up, and I'm sure, it, like, every band has, there's a reason, like family, there's things, there's growth, you gotta move on, but Soul Coughing was one of those bands I really, really identified with. And I love them.
There's that another one of my favorite tracks on that the disc. Ruby Varum is the disc title, yeah, right? The first
that
one.
That was the first one that I know.
Yeah, and then they had that song about L.A. actually, where
Screenwriters Blues.
Screenwriters Blues, yeah. It's 5 a.m.
in Los Angeles. You are.
Listening
to Los Angeles.
The radio man says it's a beautiful night out there, and the radio man says rock and roll lives. You live in Los Angeles, and the radio man laughs because the radio man fucks a model too.
Yeah. And what was in True Dreams of Wichita, what was the line he said? And you hold her something like
you grip her love,
like a driver's license. I mean, there's a reason.
Like it's your identity.
I don't go out on a limb all the time and say like that lyric to me is poetry, but M. Doty, is it Doty or is it Doty?
Everyone I've ever heard say Doty.
If you're listening to this at any point in time, maybe months from now, by hitting a link, M. Doty or Doty, fucking write Mitch or something, because I don't know how your name's pronounced. But that line was like, it triggered something in me, because it was like, I wish I had thought that. I wish that was something that I had generated, that I had thought about someone in my time. And, you know, you have your own thoughts and you'll come up with your own shit. But that was amazing. You grip her love like a driver's license. I can't even imagine the context for what caused why he thought that.
Because we've all, I think, at one point or another done that. And we all know people who do that. We've all, you know, at one point in our life felt like, you know, the woman or man or whoever we were with was held some sort of identity for us, some sort of like social status or it meant that you were a valuable person because you were with this, you know,
and you're flashing your ID. That's your calling card.
You're bringing her to your parties and you're taking her to your
and an ID in the social situation, not with getting pulled over or any of that shit. The ID gets you in.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what we're taught.
Yeah.
The ID gets you in. You either have a fake one or you got a real one. A lot of it's based on age.
Yeah.
But reality is, when you hold that up, you are either in or you're out.
It's so weird. I mean, because I think in some stages, dating is like that, where you if you have a significant other that you're, you know, someone you're dating and they're beautiful or funny or cool or famous or, you know, whatever, then they become sort of that ID for you. But I think there's a lot of shit out there too that goes along with even beyond the dating stage, but marriage, where being married to somebody gives you access to a community that you wouldn't otherwise, if you're not married, you're not.
That is such another can of worms in the scheme of what's the picture of my life going to look like. I mean, I'm 32. You're a couple years younger than me. We're all moving along the road and evaluating what we think is important and what we want for our lives and how it's going to look. Marriage happens to be one of those phases that you go through. Are you a marrying type? Are you not? Is it something that you are into? Is it something that you're not?
Do you have access to it?
Have you met someone you can marry too?
Some people don't even have a legal right to get married.
That's true. But and at the same time, I'm always thinking that, like, there were times in my life when I thought completely different about marriage, and it's just an idea. That's all it is. It's an idea. Yeah. It may be a Western idea. I don't know the whole history of marriage, but I know that where we've been raised, we've been around marriage or divorce or not marriage, you know. I what I believe in is commitment. And I believe in that you can meet somebody that fulfills so many of your desires about the opposite sex. You can meet someone like that. And I don't believe that man is here just to sleep with as many people as they can. A lot of people rely on that argument that we're built to just fuck and we're going to always be challenged and go do that. I think that you kind of reach the higher version of yourself when you can actually control your desire to have it all and take what you get.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. The only thing I would disagree with you on was the comment about the opposite sex, because I really do believe that gay and lesbian couples, many of them have more fulfilling and healthy relationships than heterosexual couples.
So why is there even an argument about whether they're allowed to be married if it was so fulfilling and it didn't matter whether we gave them the title of, and I'm not saying we, I'm saying the powers
society,
that be,
right,
gave them the title of marriage and wedded and whatever. Like, what does that matter? I think that there's something about declaring to the world and declaring to everyone that you know are watching you or whatever it is that, hey, this is the person that I have committed my life to. That, I mean, that is marriage.
Oh, absolutely. And
but that means something to people. I think that the only reason for why people search it out so much or are so conflicted by it or go through as much as they do for the idea of marriage is that there's something inside of us that wants to have people know, I choose this person, or I will go the distance for that person, you know, or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think that harkens back to that line.
Did you just say harkens?
I said harkens.
Ye old harkens back.
I may have said it even earlier, too. I think I've said that twice.
Them today. Spaniards stole our gold. Gracias.
Arr.
Yeah.
But I think that line about you gripping her love like a driver's license, it ties in directly to that you grip her, you grip your marriage like a driver's license. And I think that people do that. And I think that people get married so that they have access to the marriage community, to the married elite. And it sucks because some people, you know, can't. Some people can't legally get married.
All right. Well, but let's not make this really about what we're talking about, which is gay people. Gay people who are facing the legal restriction. I think that I know straight people who feel the same restriction because something inside of them doesn't want to pledge themselves to one person.
But that's a totally different ballgame.
It's very different. But you went on to like the gay tip of, you know, they can't. Yeah. I'm talking about just what does it mean? Like, why is it so important to so many people to pledge themselves to one person? I don't have the answer to that,
right,
but I know that I was raised around it. So a lot of people talk about it like it's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. I see value.
I think that the fact that gay people can't get married affects heterosexual couples.
How?
Because if the sanctity of marriage is, you know, as our president says it, is impacted by this, by whether or not gay people can get married, then if that actually affects it in some negative way, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. As a heterosexual man.
I completely disagree. I think that's completely personal to you, and I would never knock it. That's how you feel. But for me, that's a struggle that's completely peculiar. I don't know why it is that way in the world that we live in.
But it makes it not valuable.
But it was that way before the gay people ran into that struggle. The concept of marriage is something that people will be torn over in their own heart because either you think you need to do it in your lifetime or you don't. Some people don't need to be married. They can live as a couple for years and years and years.
And
it doesn't matter.
Plenty of really healthy couples that are heterosexual.
But it sounds like you're defending the opposite of marriage. And I run into a lot of people.
The opposite of marriage?
Yeah. Like, I run into a lot of people who...
I'm not defending the... I'm not... don't confuse me with defending people who are afraid to make a lifetime commitment.
No, I'm absolutely not saying that. I'm saying you seem to be, to me, saying, like, really lobbying for marriage is a word, and it doesn't mean everything it's cracked up to be. You can be completely committed to and a life partner for someone without the term marriage and without what everything that comes with it. I don't get so caught up that way. I say that
I agree with you. You can be can be completely committed without being
absolutely
married.
And I've been around people that are so that way, and you know, I'm young and I don't know everything, and I'm sure there are so many people out there that could show me a lot of things about life and how it works and what they've been through. But for me, you know, I was raised around marriage, and I think that there can be great things about it. And I think it's a word, of course, but really what it means is, do you have it in you to be committed to somebody?
I don't think, I think I think there's a lot of people that
that
won't ever do that. Yeah.
That don't. Then we'll sit there and pretend like, oh, I don't like the whole idea of it. And they'll make it all about this term marriage. But really, I think what they're saying about themselves is, I have not the first clue about how to really put myself with one person.
Right. Really, it's about commitment.
Yeah, I think is what we're getting at. Yeah. And you know what? I'm 32 years old. You're what? 2 years younger than me?
29, yeah.
But you're 23. I mean, I'm 32, and I have no idea. I don't know my ass from a hole in the ground, but I'm going through my life, and I'm learning, and I'm having a great time, and I'm confronted and having all these cool things come up, and I don't know. I don't have the answers. But I do know that I feel more comfortable when I feel like I've found somebody that gets everything about you.
Yeah, you don't have to go to the bars, and you don't have to go pretend that you're an attractive single, because you're already attractive to somebody. And I think that's a basic human need, to be
loneliness,
attractive.
Being lonely. You know, I came straight up against the bubble of just being lonely and making to everyone that I care about that was asking me questions about, like, where are you at, Bobby? We love you. You are the greatest guy, all this stuff. And not being able to see for myself that, hey, you know, I am a little bit lonely. And one of the best, easiest ways for me to fill that void was to constantly be out around people, socializing, having a great time, being funny.
They acted like they loved each other because they're...
It's not an act. It's all, to me, it's all people trying to find out where they're at and who they are and have a great time doing it and not be insecure and all that stuff. For me, it was... You flounder around. I always come back to life is messy. And as human beings, we're always kind of make it look clean. And it's always going to be messy. Look at you with your job today.
Yeah. You know? I got to find a new job, people. This podcast thing is all I got at the moment. So, you know.
No, but your reaction to the whole idea of that in a moment's notice, the machine grinds a gear and they say, oh, we're shutting down this department. And your attitude was so magnificent to me. I'm driving along with my secure job that's been the same way for a number of years. And your attitude was so great. It was like, you know what? This happened. There wasn't anything in your voice that said, oh, I'm scared or I don't know what to do. It was like, look, this is life changing a gear with me and I'm just going to figure it out.
Yeah. I'm actually excited. You know, there's change. Change afoot. Change is afoot.
Change afoot. But that's what it was. I really, aside from this podcast and whoever's going to listen to this, I'm telling you as my buddy, I got something out of that because I was sitting there and I'm like, how would I be in the same circumstance? You know, in one day, in a matter of an hour, some suit with a tie on, I don't know if you work around those people, but it could have been.
No ties.
Comes up and says, oh, we're shutting down this department, you know? What do you do? Yeah. You get along and you listen to some music and you find your next moment. And that's why we're going to listen to Absinthe. You take a shot of Absinthe.
That helps sometimes. Yeah, that's right. We got this. This is our last track. This is one more from my buddy Chris Johnson.
Why don't we tell people, you probably know more than I do, but why don't we tell people the significance of the drink absinthe?
Well, isn't it a opiate? Isn't it some sort of – I mean, you can only get it in, like, Spain and France, Europe. Right?
It's a European thing from what I know. And every friend I ever knew that took his or her, you know, typical trip to Europe ended up in Amsterdam. And they told me all about right. this magical Barbara Eden bottle of Genie Magic, which was absinthe. And I'd have never really done it. But they say that absinthe is one of those liquors that has, like, a hallucinatory effect and opens up another dimension for you.
Yeah, if anybody
has some
and can send it to me, yeah. That would be great.
See, and we don't want that knockoff fucking Mardi Gras shit or Cinco de Mayo leftovers, all right?
Yeah.
We want the real absinthe shit.
I want some absinthe, and I want it now.
Or I will poop on you.
There we go with the poop. Listen, we're going up. We're upwards of an hour. We're actually past 60 minutes, going on 65. So I want to tie it up, wrap it up, pack it in. Let me begin. I can't
don't call
win.
It a comeback.
That'll mean it's the same.
Don't call it a comeback around. Because I've been here for years.
Yeah, seriously, getting crazy here. We have one last song. It's from Absinthe.
No. Wait, wasn't Joan Jett before that?
No. I happen to really dig Joan Jett, but...
I didn't mean any offense. I really don't.
She's great to mix, too. There's a cool...
The 80s one, that medley of
I
80s...
Love rock and roll.
Yeah, but it goes into, like, Cyndi Lauper and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, there's this great... another podcast called Radio Clash, which is really cool. They have all these mashups, and they did this really cool Joan Jett versus Weezer... Versus,
you know, Mitch, this whole Versus thing is really bringing me down.
Oh, come on. You loved that Pearl Jam album called Versus.
Oh, my
you're God. Weird.
I love that. Didn't Eddie Vedder sing I'm Fat?
I don't know.
Wasn't that it?
Yeah. Hearts and thoughts, I'm fat.
I'm fat. I'm fat, you know it. Seriously, if Mike, let's not talk about Michael
Jackson.
Okay,
we have to go. Let's go. Not talk okay. about We're on Absinthe. This song is called The Break. And I'm just going to fade it out after that. I might give a little goodbye at the end. But
do one of your like really cool drum beat bass enders, you know, that makes me all fired up.
No, Bobby. No.
All right. Hey, okay. Mitch.
You're getting
I'm
in my fucking
I'm
shit.
I'm fucking sensitive
God
right
damn
now.
It. All right. Feeling we're sensitive. We're going to do Absinthe right here. This is a song called The Breaks. And
you can find it in Europe.
You can find it on
at any hooker bar.
I'll post the notes on the website. It's been great having you. Thanks. Good night. Love your show. Wait, I hope you love my show. This is trippy.
In dreams, it's a one-way trip.
Okay, thanks you guys. That was great. This is Mitch McAllister and
Beverino Bambino Bell. And let us remind you, we don't know anything
about
anything.
Notes from the Underground. See you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.